for your hand upon our lives, Lord God. We thank you for your provision through our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's bought us out of, redeemed us from, and given unto us. Be glorified, be magnified in our midst tonight, Lord God. Open our eyes and understanding. Have your way. May your will be accomplished. Draw out what we need to see and hear for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, there's a scripture that's been rolling around, and it just keeps coming up again and again. So we're going to start with that, and that's in the book of Job, verse 22, chapter 22 and verse 28. Job 22:28. And it says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine forth upon thy ways." Shall be established. You shall decree a thing, and when you decree the thing, it shall be established. So what does it mean to decree? If we look up the root word and what that means, it means to cut down or off, to destroy, to divide, to exclude, or decide, to cut down or cut off. To decree, to divide, to snatch out. There's an absolute total separation when a decree is taking place. It may have been going this way, but you're decreeing and declaring it will go another way. Amen. So we're going to look at a couple of things. I mean, I looked up this word decree, and I looked up the deviations of what it means, and there's some pictures that were painted, and using the same word, it was talking about graves, from life to death, the same word, from life to death. You know, you can decree your life. Amen. A doctor may declare death, but you shall have the words of your mouth. Amen. You're snared by the words of your mouth. And I don't know about you, but I see a track record in my life, especially early on in my life, when terrible things were spoken over my life. And some of you may have been there, some of you may not. But I believe those things because they were spoken to me by people in authority over me, by my parents, by my family, people that I looked up to. And they said, "You'll never be this, and you'll never be that, and you'll never amount to anything." Well, I believed those words. They were declared and decreed over my life. I grabbed hold of them with my heart. I believed them, and I began to speak that over myself, that I would never amount, that I would not become. Why? Because that had crept down into my heart. Now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to gauge where you're at in life. You want to gauge where your faith is at. You want to gauge what you believe about yourself or what God says about you. Then listen to what you're saying. And not just when you're around your faith friends at church, but when you're at home, when you're talking with good friends, when you're bearing your heart openly. What are you saying about yourself and your situation? Because sometimes we're decreeing, we're declaring things that are not meant for our lives. We're opening the door wide for the enemy to walk in and march right through and bring destruction. Well, God has a plan and a purpose, doesn't he? And so does the enemy. The enemy's job description, we've talked about this over and over, but he has a job description, and it's declared in John 10:10. Excuse me. The thief, who is the devil, right? He comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his job description in a nutshell. That's what he's out after, to steal your faith, to destroy you. But he can't unless you give place. Amen. Amen. He's a defeated foe. Jesus spoiled the principalities and powers. He defeated them. He made a show of them openly. We have victory in Christ Jesus, not in and of ourselves, but in Christ Jesus because of what he's done on our behalf, what belongs to us through our redemption. What we lost in the fall, he bought back and gave to us. Aren't you thankful? But there's so many things that we just take for granted, or we don't really grab hold of. This is true. This is what we have. We think, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if that was so? Don't you wish it was just the same as when Jesus walked the earth? Well, he says it's better that I go. Because if I go, the Holy Spirit basically is going to come. Live in you, dwell in you, guide you, direct you, empower you. Amen. Holy Spirit isn't supposed to sit on a hammock and swing in there, do nothing. Amen. He's empowering you, and he's empowering me to be children of the Most High God. We're supposed to represent him. We're supposed to represent his love, his power, his faith. Amen. It's only because of him that any man or woman can bring glory unto God. It's not to bring glory unto yourself, but it's supposed to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It brings honor unto him when his name is exalted, when his power is displayed in this earth. I've been reading a book the last few days by John G. Lake. How many are familiar with John G. Lake? Oh, powerful man of God. He was like turn of the century, and brought revival to South Africa. Hundreds of thousands of people were healed and saved. And I say it in that order because, some people put this thing out there that you have to be saved and walking holy and righteously before God would ever dare heal you. Well, he redeemed us spirit, soul, and body. And I believe with all of my heart, healing is a calling card for the lost. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And when they see how good God is and how much he loves them, they're drawn to him. They want to know him better. They want to know him more. Amen? So, John G. Lake, he grabbed hold of the truth of God's word, and he began to walk it out. He began to trust what God decreed and declared in his word was true. He acted as it was so. Wouldn't that be amazing if the body of Christ acted as so the word of God was true? Seriously. I mean, he has over 30,000 promises from cover to cover. How many are we walking in? How many do we really believe are for us? Are we just hoping, well, maybe it's good, maybe it's true? Maybe it was just for the special ones, the holy ones, those called of God. They get all the blessings and benefits. No, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. And what he's done for one, he'll do for you. Amen. As far as redemption is concerned, redeemed. He bought back from the slave market of sin is what we entered into. When man sinned, we became slaves of Satan. We cut off our relationship from God. And we became enslaved to sin. God has greater for mankind. Mankind was created to have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God wanted us to commune with him. That's why we were created from the very beginning, was to talk with him, to walk with him, to hear from him, to know his plans, to intermingle with him, not to have this distant relationship. Not to have a religious facade. Jesus hated religion. Whenever religion just sprang up, he called it out. Religion is man trying to be good enough for God to accept him. We are good enough because of the blood of Jesus and that alone. Amen. If you've received him as your Savior, his blood was shed for you, and it washed you and cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Amen. You're free. You're holy. He's declared you to be a saint. He's declared you to be set apart, sanctified for his use and purposes. Amen. He has done something for your life. Amen. And the biggest thing is said that when that veil was rent in two. Amen. When we, what we call, you know, on that Good Friday, and the veil was rent. Hallelujah. The veil that separated in the Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, where it was as though God was shut up in this little section, and that was ripped open so that man could once again come into relationship with God Almighty, because the price, the penalty had been paid for our sins through the death of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need and time of trouble. Any time we desire to meet with God Almighty, we can step into his presence. Anytime. Anytime whatsoever. We are not hindered from anything. The thing that hinders us more than anything is the distractions in this world. We get caught up in all the things and get busied and forget God in the midst of it all. He wants to walk with us every step of every day. And it can be done. Amen. He can be brought into the workplace. He can be brought into your shower. Amen. He can be driving down the road with you. You can be fellowshipping, worshiping, praising him. Everywhere you go, he can go and be with you. Amen. Do we take advantage of that? Pastor was just talking about what it was like in the Old Testament when we were singing that song about take me past the outer courts, where we want to be right with him. We can do that. We don't have to fear like they feared. There's only one high priest once a year that can go into that holy place. And there with fear and trepidation, had a rope tied around his ankle, had the pomegranates on the bottom of his rope so they could hear whether or not he was still moving around. Because they couldn't go in. If he messed up, they couldn't go in to get him. He would be struck dead. And they'd have to pull him out. Do you know what a privilege it is that we get to go before God Almighty at any day, any time? Do we take advantage of that? Do we take it for granted? It's an awesome, awesome, holy position that we have with our God. He's given us everything pertaining to life, everything pertaining to godliness. He's given it to us. He's delivered it to us. He's withheld no good thing from those that walk uprightly. Aren't you glad? But one of the things that, I'm trying to get back over to decreeing a thing, it sounds a little stronger than just saying, doesn't it? But the words of your mouth, you're snared by the words of your mouth. That life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. If you recognize and love, if you realize your words carry weight, that when you decree and declare things in God's word in agreement with his will and plan and purpose, they will come to pass. Amen. You'll see it. But some things, when we're in the darkest of dark places, dark times in our life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, there's just oppressive forces, different things. The enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So one thing that a lot of Christians have this misconception of is I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. The enemy is never going to touch me again, and I'm going to float from here on forever on my faith and never be attacked. Do you think that's true? Have you ever believed that? I have. I thought once I got filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God, that I would never face anything again. I just plow through life in victory. Well, there might be battles, but you don't have victory without a battle. Right? We go through some things, but we come out on top. We're victorious in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we've been promised victory, but we need to keep things in perspective. It's not that you'll never be attacked again. It's not that there isn't stuff and corruption and garbage all around in different families and different workplaces and situations you come into life. It's what do you do with it when you're in them? How do you handle it? What do you look at? What's your perspective? What are you saying about it? Because too many times we're decreeing and declaring the way it is, what we see in the natural. Oh, this is so confusing. I just don't know what to do. This is so confusing. What are you decreeing? What are you declaring? Confusion is of the, it's not from God. Wisdom is from God, right? So we don't want to give place by just setting ourselves in agreement with the situation we're in. No, the Word of God declares we have the mind of Christ, that we're led by the Spirit of God. He's going to lead us into truth and righteousness. So how does that come about? It takes time with Him, right? It takes an expectation. Lord God, I need some answers right now. It might be a confusing situation, but we don't need to give place to that. What we need to decree and declare is, I have the mind of Christ. I have the wisdom of God. I'll know exactly what to do when I need to do it. Right? We can just change a few words, and it changes the perspective and the outcome of the situation. I'm so tired. I just don't know why. I'm just so tired all the time. I get up and I'm tired. Guess what? What are you going to be at 2:00 in the afternoon? So tired. What about 8:00 at night? So tired. Why? Because we're giving place to what? We have an expectation on it, right? But what about the scripture that says, let the weak say, I am strong? We're declaring in agreement with the Word of God what He says. We're not to say, I'm weak. You might feel weak. You might be in a weakened state. You might have just gotten kicked down and gone through the muck and the mire, and you might feel weak. But what does God say? Say something. Say what? I'm strong. I'm strong in me. I'm strong because I'm Shelley Sisk. That doesn't amount to a whole lot. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. So we're identifying with who we are in Christ, with our strength in Him. Amen. Because in and of ourselves, we are nothing. We have nothing. We know nothing. We can do nothing. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is, in and of ourselves, I don't care if you're a genius. I don't care what talents and abilities you have. Everything you have and everything you are is because God's graced you in that area. It's not because you're independently wealthy in this, your charisma or your looks or anything else. God put you together. Amen. He deposited in you grace and ability. He gave you the personality and intelligence that you have, the way you look at things, how you manage life. Amen. And there's spiritual gifts in there too. gifts of evangelism and gifts of giving and gifts of serving and teaching and all sorts of things that he has for his kingdom so that we can make a difference. But too many times, I know in my own life, I mean, I had to catch myself just today saying some things that weren't necessarily right. Hallelujah. I'm growing, amen? How about you? But there's an opportunity for me, and I've been kicking against the pricks for a long time. Anybody ever done that besides me, or am I the only one? Last year, I got Ikem to go with, and he preached the Crusades in Ghana. Hallelujah. Except for the one that he snuck around the bush and told Pastor John I should. Well, this year, I get to preach all the Crusade meetings. And my brain and my it says, I'm not an evangelist. I do not. You know, I want to say those things because that's what my brain says. And that's what if my brain is saying that, then guess what I got to meditate on? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The grace of God is sufficient. Amen. I need to meditate on who I am in Christ and just get past the picture that I've painted in my own mind about what I can do and what I can't do. And every time I've been in a situation to preach a crusade, God's grace has been there and I've seen wonderful things. But I don't want to do it. Given to it naturally, I'd rather do something else. So I have to fight myself on this. So what am I going to decree? What am I going to declare? I mean, I can say I can't do this. Where will that get me? Right? I'll be flat on my face. Or I can agree with God and what he's setting up and say his grace is sufficient and I can do this. And it will be well. And the people will be blessed. Not because I'm so wonderful, but because they're people and God will have something for them. Right? Amen. So we just continually, no matter where you are in life, there's going to be things that come up before you that might not be comfy cozy. It might not be exciting for you, or it might be, but you just don't quite feel qualified. What are you going to do about it? We have to set ourselves in agreement with the Word. And you have to look to the Word because that's where faith comes from. Not because of somebody else's experience, but because of the Word of God. What has the Word declared for you? What has it declared for me? Because those are the things I need to and you need to set ourselves about in agreement with the Word of God. And that's what we build our faith in every situation on. We go from there. Amen. And we will overcome everything we face in life because we have victory in Christ. And we can do all things through Christ. But when we are in, I guess I started telling you about John G. Lake a little bit. Amazing, amazing man of God. And he just came into truth and light little at a time. And when he did, though, it was like he acted on it. He believed it. He decreed it. He declared it. He did it. If you get revelation that Jesus is your healer, then you should be standing on that, not wavering, that he's your provider. No. I don't care what this looks like. My God says he would provide my needs according to his riches and glory. And as far as I can tell, his glory has not gone bankrupt. Amen? The accounts in heaven are full, right? He's not lacking. Right? So our faith needs to be in him as our provider. He said, I will provide. Provide. Pro, before. Vide, to see. He saw before what your needs and what my needs are, and he's already made a way for it. It's already shot into the future because he saw the need. He said, I'm your provider. Well, why is it that some don't see that provision? Because their eyes get off of him as the provider, and they start trying to do it themselves. They start picking up everything they can to make it all happen themselves. Right? And they take their eyes off God and do their own thing. Because they don't think God really is trustworthy enough, so they're going to help God out. They're going to do it themselves. Been there, done that. And not to diss God, it's just that my heart was, I can do this, I can help. I can serve, I can. Sometimes God is saying, trust me. Take your hands off of it. Trust me. When he tells you to put your hand to the plow, you do it with all diligence. But there are occasions when he says, trust. See. Amen? Are you excited about that? There are times when we're walking on that water. There are times when you step out of the boat and it doesn't feel like there's anything there to hold you up. But there is. And you know what it is? It's his word. His word holds you up. And that's what we're talking about today, is decreeing a word. And it's not just his word. He's given his word to us. Therefore, we're to decree it. We're to declare it. We're fit for the master's use. We're created in his image and his likeness. We've been commissioned with something. He said, now you go, therefore. We're supposed to go and represent Jesus Christ. We're supposed to declare and decree a thing. We're supposed to bring things into light. Amen. He is the Savior, the Deliverer, the Healer. But if we're too afraid to put his word out there, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't happen? Oh, I don't know if I can say that because I don't want to disgrace God by it not happening. Then you're not believing a thing. Flat out, point blank, nothing. That is nothing but doubt. If you're afraid to stand and say, he's my healer. If you're afraid to stand and say, he's my deliverer. He's my provider. I don't know that I can say that. Why? Does he say it? Who has he declared himself to be in the Word of God? Jehovah who? Huh? Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord that provides. What else has he declared himself to be? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord thy physician, Lord the healer. Who else has he declared himself? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord thy banner. Banner of what? Victory. Hallelujah. Amen. He's waving a banner of victory over you and me. You're not to be defeated in any circumstance in life. What he's declared, it didn't go away with when the New Testament came into being. It's the good things from the Old Testament plus. You don't take, it's a better covenant. The good things weren't taken out of the Old Testament, but more things were added to. And who he declared himself to be, he still is. I am, he He's the great I am. I am what? It's whoever, whatever you need him to be, basically. He's our all in all. He's our strength, our wisdom, our might, our insight. He's our help. He's everything. Amen. He said it. Amen. He's not a man that he can lie. Right? Aren't you glad? I mean, some people, you go to them and you wanna see where they're at and see what they're saying, and do they really mean it? Oh, I hope, we've had some people over the years give us some wonderful promises. Hallelujah. But with God, there's never a question there. There's never a question of his integrity, of his loyalty, of his faithfulness, of his goodness. Amen. We can't fall into doubt and despair about who he is. He is who he said he is. And he's faithful to watch over his word to perform it. So we can trust him. Aren't you glad? Oh my goodness, he's so good. So faithful. There's nothing I know about my God. It is he is faithful. You'll never go to lean on him and trust him and he's not there. My nephew and my grandson on Christmas, maybe it was Devante's birthday. I can't remember when it was. I think it was Devante's birthday. And you know these trust things? You know, where somebody will just blindly fall out and somebody behind them is supposed to catch them? Oh, it's so funny. They both decided to fall out at the same time. They were back to back. It was the funniest thing to watch. But God will never turn his back on you. God will always, always be there for you. Amen? He will be there. He will catch you. He is faithful. I guess you would have had to seen it to appreciate it. Funny. So there's a separation. There is a absolute, it's like the dividing of the Red Sea. When you're decreeing something, you're not setting yourself in agreement with what you're feeling. Right? You're decreeing something, what God says. You're declaring something, what the truth is. So we're not gonna say, well, I'm not doing well. No. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He strengthens me. He renews my youth like the eagles. He's restoring to me what the enemy has taken. Amen? You set yourself in your words so they're making a dividing between. What was the Red Sea? I mean, there's the whole of Egypt there, and all the curses and all the plagues and all the horrible bondage they were under and all the despair and pain and suffering for years and years and years that they were under. And the Red Sea divided between that and the promised land, stepping over to the place that they were supposed to. But they didn't fully step into it because there was so much doubt and unbelief that it took years and years longer than it should have for them to step fully into the promises of God. And it's sad to say, but for some of us, it's taken years and years longer than it should have for us to step into the fullness of the things of God because we failed to see it, we failed to believe it, or we believed the lie of the enemy over what God has declared instead. There's a division that needs to take place in our thinking and our speaking. We need to begin to decree and declare what God has said fully and completely over us. Here's one example. This is an area. I think most everybody in here is married, but 1 Corinthians 7:37. Here's one example of decreeing something. Excuse me. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. What does that mean? It doesn't, this is speaking of a man staying pure with a virgin, right? But where'd he decree things first? Where'd he declare things first? Was in his heart, right? And so many times, things don't necessarily get down into our heart. We look at somebody else declaring and decreeing something, and it's all good, and they've got a great testimony, and they've produced well in their life. You can see the victory and the testimony. And then, so we just jump on the bandwagon. Well, if I just say this, but it's not gotten down into your heart. See, we need to believe in our heart and confess with your mouth. And you shall be what? Saved. Well, salvation is that all-inclusive word, sozo. Right? Saved, delivered, healed. Amen. It's an all-inclusive. It covers all of salvation in that word. So, if we're just believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth Christ Jesus is Lord, we're saved. But that is the key to it all. Amen. In every area. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my provider. I believe in, I'm confessing with my mouth, believing in my heart. See, there needs to be genuine salvation. There are some people that have said some words, but it was never in their heart. And there's a lot of people that are saying words about him being healer, deliverer, provider, everything else he's declared himself to be and has been to us, just saying it, but it's not in their heart. They don't truly believe it. Yay or nay? There's, let's just jump on over. Let's go to Mark 11. And we're going to start in verse 12. The next day, when they came out from Bethany, he was hungry. After seeing in the distance a fig tree with leaves, he went to find out if there was anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Now jump on down to verse 20. Early in the morning, as they were passing by, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered." So they recognized it. When did it wither? Well, when they walked by it, it's kind of a trick question, isn't it? Because when they walked by it, it looked the same. Green, leafy. They didn't notice anything different. They didn't note anything about it till the next day. And that morning, they walked by and it said, Master, the fig tree you cursed has withered from the, what? Roots. That means the roots had to be visible. So it had to have fallen over and the roots be bared, right? It's withered from the roots up. Well, when he spoke it, it began immediately withering, but they didn't see it from the outside because it began on the inside. And sometimes we're looking for outside manifestations and we're disappointed because we don't see it and we cast away our confidence, which the Word of God says do not do, because there's great recompense of reward when you hold that. And we walk away from the thing as though nothing's happened. Jesus had confidence in his words. He declared and decreed a thing. He said, no one eat fruit of you evermore. He spoke to that tree. He cursed that tree. And it began to wither. Whether they saw it or not, it began to wither so that by the next day, that tree had exposed its roots and was dead. There's some things when you're decreeing it, whether you see or don't see, you stand. You have confidence in the word that God has given you. Amen. So, well, what word would that be? Let's keep reading. Verse 22. This is immediately on the heels of finding that tree withered. This is the instruction that it gives now. Jesus replied to them, have faith in God. Does it say have faith in your words? Nope. It says have faith in God. But God has given instruction here to us. That when God says you speak, you can have faith in him. Amen. That when I speak out words of faith, something is happening, whether I see it or don't see it. But I have faith in God that God is producing something in the midst of it all. I don't have to see it. I don't have to figure it out. All I have to do is have faith in God. Amen? Because God is faithful to watch over his word to perform it. So the very first thing that Jesus said, gave them directions on, is one, have faith in God. Verse 23, for I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, what mountain? A mountain of sickness, a mountain of poverty, a mountain of depression, a mountain of unbelievable circumstances. It doesn't matter what the mountain is, it's whatever is coming against you at the time. Amen? Says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what God says will happen, it will be done for him. That sounds real familiar, doesn't it? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Christ Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. What would the greater miracle be? A fig tree withering and dying, or a man being saved? What would a bigger miracle be? Somebody healed of cancer or somebody saved? salvation. And yet for some reason we elevate healing as though, oh. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're wowed and awed. But the greatest miracle ever to take place is when somebody is brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. When they've gone from death to life. And yet, there's the gears don't mesh sometimes when it comes to healing or miracles. We think it's greater, it's higher, it takes more power or something. The power was what? In the faith. And even that faith is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. So God gives us the faith to believe. But he says, believe and don't doubt in your heart for salvation and this as well. Here he's given instructions of what to say, what to speak, how to go about it. Have faith in God. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen. It will be done for him. Are you saying anything or just going through life? A lot of people are in neutral because they're not saying anything about their circumstances. They're not giving God anything to work with. They're hoping something will change. They're hoping that God will come through, but they're not speaking it. It's more than hope. Faith without works is dead. So how do we activate our faith? One of the ways is speaking. Setting our mouth. Confessing what God says. We're saying what God says. Saying the same thing as what God's word says. 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes ye were healed. Amen? Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53. All basic healing scriptures. All very basic. But they're the foundation. When were we healed? When were we saved? Well, I was saved in 1972. Well, yes and no. At the cross, he paid the price for every human being ever in existence. He's the savior of the world. Are all saved? No. Not until they believe on him, believe in their heart, confess with their mouth. Although he paid the price for all of them. And he paid the price for our healing. He paid the price for our deliverance. He paid the price for us to come out of poverty. Amen. He has paid for everything. What we lost in the fall, Jesus redeemed and gave back to us. And then he says, now you go in my name. He commissioned us to go forth with his power, his authority, the name of Jesus. We're to take this message. We're to take the light of what we have. We're to take the goodness of God. We're to bring it out of us to the world around us. Because he loves us. And he loves them. And he's commissioned us to do so. Verse 24. Therefore I tell you, all the things you pray and ask for, believe you have received them, and you will have them. Believe you have received them, past tense, and you shall, future tense, receive them. Amen. You might not yet see it right here in front of you, but you believe you have received. Why? Because he paid the price. He didn't have to take those stripes on his back. He didn't have to be beaten and pulverized like he was. He could have gone and died on the cross and paid for our sins, right? Because that was for our salvation. But before he went to the cross, he was beaten, he was ripped, he was bruised, he was tormented. He had that crown of thorns jammed into his head, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Why? So that we could have peace in our mind, our soul. By his stripes, we were healed. It's all been bought and paid for. Believe you have received it. You received it when he paid for it. Amen. It was made available. And when you believe, you receive it. You grab hold of it with that heart of faith. Yes, he paid the price. He was beaten for me. He suffered unbelievable agony in his body so that we could be whole in ours. So why are we putting up with it? I think sometimes we just got to draw that line of demarcation and say, okay, enough, 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 enough. I'm done with this mess. My God has made a way. He's already paid the price. Why am I fooling around with this nonsense? This is the way it's going to be. I am free in the name of Jesus. I am whole in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I like that song. Kind of has a sassy ring to it. Amen. But we're free in Christ. Amen. So we need to decree it. Let me just read that scripture in its entirety, back up to 22. Jesus replied to them, "Have faith in God. I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, all the things you pray and ask for, believe you have received them, and you will have them." Now, that should be an anchor for your faith. Amen? Who said this? Jesus. Do you trust the words of Jesus? Can you trust the words of Jesus? And Jesus said this. That ought to be a hallmark for our faith. Amen? We can trust him and his word. Well, kind of bounced around a little bit here and there, but I just want to read Job 38 again. Well, actually what we read was 22:28, but I'm going to read Job 38, because here's something God decrees, and I just think it's really nice. Shows us how it works. Job 38, verses 8 through 11. "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? And when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be saved, stayed. What's that saying? God decreed something when he created. And when he set the boundaries for the sea, the waves come up on the beaches how far? Every day they come up. And they go so far and then they recede. He set the boundaries. Why? Because he decreed it. He declared it. Amen. I like how God does things. I think he's so cool. He's just said some things. He spoke things out. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And it wasn't the moon, the stars, and the sun. It was a quark. Everything is made up, electrons, protons, and neutrons is made up of quarks, sound waves of light. So he created everything. It came forth when he said, let there be light. It was the beginning stages, hallelujah, of all creation. I think that's so cool. I just love it. But God has told us then, thou, and 22:28, Job 22:28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. So you want some things established in your life? We need to start declaring. We need to set ourselves in God's side. We need to say what God says. We need not say what the situation looks like in the natural round about us, because that is subject to change. And it can change to what God has said and declared. Amen? So we need to set our mouth in agreement with God and see it come to pass. Amen? Amen. God is so, so faithful. Did you want to share your testimony you were sharing with me the other night? Yep. That would be you, Melissa. About when we prayed for Caitlin. Let me get a mic for you. Which one? The last one. 22?
Test.
Hang on, I'll get it in a second. I like this testimony. I thought it was great.
I don't know how many Mondays it was ago, but Caitlin was receiving hands-on for prayer for clearing out her lungs or something to do with her lungs and issue like that. And I also was dealing with like a cold that went into my lungs and it wasn't clearing out, and a couple of weeks went by and that stinker was a hard one. And so I heard that I could also receive from that, so I did. I went up and I received, and then the next day it like all dried up and it just went away. It was cool.
Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. There's a scripture that says, pray ye for one another that you may be healed. I like that. Amen. Does anybody need prayer tonight? Otherwise, we're going to transfer it over to Pastor Gary. We're good? Okay. All right.